Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is August 30th already, 2022, already, almost Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Could be a good weekend, I hope, for everyone. Almost everybody is back to school. I think some schools in the Northeast go back after Labor Day, but just about everybody's back. So hope you have a good year and are having a good year, or whatever the case may be. We got a nice show for you today with my friend, Dr. Amanda Holdsworth. You can call her Amanda. Okay. She's amazing. She has a Master of Arts in Strategic Public Relations and a Doctor of Education from the University of Southern California. Okay. She's accredited in PR and she owns Holdsworth Communications, which is a consulting firm specializing in research, strategic communications planning, and enrollment marketing and PR, okay, for school districts, okay? And she also owns the School Comms Lab, which provides templates and trainings for school and district leaders all over the place, okay? So it's pretty cool, all right? And we're going to talk about storytelling for schools, and this is key. School, as you know, things get politicized. Everybody's screaming and yelling at each other. Schools have to tell their stories, and they have to do it proactively, okay? It can't constantly be reactive, and you have to do it right. You have to manage the communications. And when I got to know Amanda, she is really an expert on this, so we're going to have a long conversation with you in mind, okay, and your school district on mind about telling that story to the community and all the major players in the community proactively. All right, we're going to archive at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's our home website for our Consortium for Equity in Education. All of our podcasts are over there. Everything is linked, everything I'm going to tell you. TeacherRetention.com, we have some great professional development for you over there. Okay, please go over, check that out. That's again, link teacher-retention.com. SELtoday.org, our Excellence in Equity Awards program, nominate yourself or your colleagues, whatever, our online journal, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12, just click on the cover of the magazine, okay, plus the last 2 years of all of our podcasts, and this one will be over there as well. So please, ace-ed.org, that's the place to go, all right? The other place to go, you can go to Holdsworth Communications, which is holdsworthcommunications.com. When you're done listening to the show, I'm going to do with Dr. Holdsworth, who I shall call Amanda. Hello. Hello, Amanda. It's Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you, Dr. Holdsworth?
I'm great, thanks.
Yeah, you are Dr.
Amanda,
Holdsworth.
Amanda, but thank you, Larry.
I know. But, you know, doctor's a big deal. I mean, you worked hard to get that doctorate, so congratulations on that.
Yes.
You're my only doctor of PR that I know. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, thank you. Okay. It was a lot of work, so you're right. I did earn it, but thank you.
You did earn it, okay? And if you want a second one, just call me. University of Larry offers them 140-character thesis. Okay? Just call me, whatever you need.
I like that.
Okay?
I like that.
Need an MD? Neurosurgery? I'm your guy. Okay? Just check it out. Okay? All right? Amanda, just tell everybody about Holdsworth Communications. I think I did a good job, but you'll do better.
Oh, well, thanks, Larry. Yes, you did an excellent job. I actually started consulting a few years ago after spending about 17 years working in a variety of schools. I actually started in independent and private schools. Then I went to higher ed, both on the public and private side, and into a public school district, and have worked with micro schools, charter schools, parochial schools, you name it, throughout my entire career. And I'm obviously a little bit obsessed with education. Every time I think about taking my toe and stepping out of it, I come back in. But with Holdsworth Communications, really I wanted to start the agency because, you know, my background is with strategic PR. And there's really, really, really this nice area between research and storytelling that kind of meld together. And what I was seeing that there was a little bit of a gap in the marketplace about what was being offered. You know, you had a lot of amazing design firms, and I've used many that can do some wonderful graphics and logos and advertising, and then you have some great PR firms in the area, but there weren't a lot that were tying in both the research and then the visual and then textual storytelling. And so that's really what we do at Holdsworth Communications, and take a look at what are the school or districts, you know, what are their true stories, what are their untold stories,
yeah,
and then how can we showcase them in ways that, you know, make them feel special. I actually had one teacher several years ago say to me, do you ever leave a campus without making somebody cry when you ask the questions during your interviews? And I say no. It's kind of the goal, because a lot of time, especially with educators, people aren't going into education and even on the educational administrative side to be rich and famous, right? They're going in because they want to do their job. And when somebody from the outside like me or anybody on my team or any other kind of consultant comes in, we see what they're doing and we think that it's so special. No matter how many schools or educators I've worked with throughout my career, every single classroom, every single school, every single district is different from one another. And so when we can take a different lens and viewpoint and look at what it is that they're doing and be able to share that in stories and through photos and videos, it really is something special and very meaningful for us as well as the school and district.
It is indeed. And Amanda, I just want you to go over this, your other, not your other business part of, School Comms Lab at schoolcomslab.com. Just tell everybody what that is. And I'll just give them a brief one. Templates and trainings for school and district leaders. What is that? Just so they know, they want to go and run over there.
Well, thanks, Larry. During the pandemic, I had so many people reach out to me, everything from bus drivers to school counselors to school nurses to principals who maybe didn't have a communications person. Let's face it, a lot of districts and schools don't have a communications person on staff or somebody doing double and triple duty.
I'll rave like a maniac when I hear that.
Oh, I know. That'll be
it.
Our next conversation, right, Larry?
Yeah.
But and so they started to reach out to me, and they would say, I don't know what to do. How do we message? I mean, this was like a week or two into the pandemic. I mean, I was getting messages like dozens a day, and people would say, you know, I'm hearing these rumors or I'm seeing these rumors on social media, and, you know, we're getting these emails from parents. We don't know what to do. And I recognize that there were a lot of these schools and districts that either couldn't afford a communications person, or something hadn't been built in, or everything had been hunky-dory for 10, 20, 40 years, whatever the case was. And these were educators all around the world and people working in education. I'm talking as far away as Africa and Asia Pacific and Eastern Europe. I was getting messages. And so what I started with the School Comms Lab is a membership community where we do monthly trainings and monthly live calls to teach people a little, particularly for those who aren't seasoned school communicators, about different components of, you know, a communications plan and how to do those tactically. So for example, we've got some webinars coming up with how to create your enrollment marketing funnel, right? How to set that up on a free e-newsletter system, or how to design a publication to, you know, capture your audience interest. And then of course we have hundreds of templates for them to pull from Canva and Adobe for those that are more advanced, so that if they need something for social media, or they need a new annual report, or they need a new marketing brochure, we have those templates right there for them, and as well as partnering with other organizations that have provided us like school-appropriate photos, right? I'm a big fan of professional photography. I'm not a big fan of stock photos, and sometimes it can be frustrating to search through all the sites for something that works for your school, so we have a curated collection there as well.
That's cool. Schoolcomslab.com, part of what Amanda does, HoldsworthCommunications.com. Amanda, I want to talk to you, and we're going to talk about the various things, but the key word that always struck me was proactively. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, this is what happened to a lot of school districts. The work they were doing was more reactive. Okay. And you get stuck when you're doing that. Okay, because if you're being reactive, you're more on the defense, okay,
mm-hmm.
where you want to be on the offense, if I can use a fall analogy, okay? And so the proactive part really, really matters. And just take that word proactively, just say what I said, and you can just simply say I'm right, or you can expand on that. Go ahead, Amanda. Proactive.
Oh, you're absolutely right. No, you are absolutely right. You know, if you're not proactive, you're spending so much of your time being reactive. And this, you know, can create so many different problems. It can cut into your schedule so you can't get to those projects as a school communicator, school leader that you really want to, that you know you need to, because you're constantly being reactive. I can also tell you from being somebody who was in-house for 17 years, it really increases your chance of burnout when all you're doing is just being reactive to every message that's coming in or every social media post.
You're chasing your tail.
And it's frustrating. It's depressing. I mean, I've been through it, as somebody who was in-house. It can be very, very, very demoralizing and depressing. And then also, you're not going to reach your strategic goals. And so I actually do a lot of counseling for mid-level and senior school communicators. And a lot of what we're trying to do is with them, even at this point of the year, is get all of their ducks in a row so that when somebody comes to them in the district or school with a quote-unquote, emergency, which we know in some times it's not really an emergency, it's just people failed to plan which we always say planning to fail. But I say, if we have a schedule for you and this plan in place, it's very hard for somebody to come in and say, well, I need you to do that now. And when you're just checking things off on a task because you're being, very reactive, you're never going to get done actually your job, which you're being graded against, or those projects that will move your school or district forward in terms of their branding or marketing or enrollment, because you're always being reactive. And then there's the other side of it, which we saw during the pandemic, is the rumor mill, right? So if the school is not, or a district is not being proactive in telling their story, and we saw this so much over the last 2.5 years, the rumor mill starts, and once that starts, there's really no stopping it, unfortunately. And so if you're not communicating to parents and being proactive and letting them know what's going on, even if you don't know what's going on, which we saw in the early part of the pandemic, then they're just going to make up their own reason as to what's happening.
Right.
And they're going to wonder, like, why are these school leaders being, what are they hiding? Or if they hid this from us, what else are they hiding from us? And it creates a sense of distrust, which obviously is retention. And then the third component is with talent, which we've seen with this massive talent shortage. And Larry, you've covered this especially over the last few months.
Go ahead. Yeah. I was just going to bring
that
up.
Yeah. And it's, if your staff and employees, I've been in these situations. I can remember being in the recession, working at an elite private school when we were all wondering, how is enrollment? And nobody would tell us what enrollment was like. And so people were thinking they still had a job, and then they sent out school contracts, and the teachers who didn't get school contracts in the mail were the ones who were let go. And what do you think that did for talent retention in a school like that, right? For people
you just brought up something that's really key. When we talk about storytelling and creating a proactive message, okay, we're not just talking about, this is key, and Amanda, please agree with me because I think I'm right here, and we're not just talking about external communications, we're talking about internal communications, which also have to be managed. And I'm just going to jump on what you just said. In this day and age when we are so concerned about retaining teachers, we have to keep great teachers teaching because the new ones aren't out there. Okay? Teacher retention is a huge thing. And if a rumor mill starts, okay, et cetera, okay, that you're going to have problems like you can't believe. So it's the external and internal communication that matters. How'd I do, Professor? Did I get an A on that one?
You nailed it, Larry. And,
thanks,
and, you
pal.
Know, this actually leans into a little bit of my postdoc research. I founded the Culture Comm model because my dissertation was on the effects of organizational culture and employee engagement. And one of the things that we found with this was, I can brand, I could hire the best marketing firm out there to create the gorgeous visual brand for our school or university or district, whatever the case might be. We could do the best marketing. We can have the exact target audience. We can have the placement nailed. We can do PR for thought leadership. But if what's happening on the inside in terms of org culture and employee engagement is negative, there's no place more so in than education where that starts to filter out to your external brand. So let me give you an example. And I wrote about this in Case Currents a few years ago. So if you have a teacher, right, and the teacher is in a class, and I know this from being, and this is particularly in independent and private schools where, that the parents are part of the community. They're in and out of the school all the time, and they know everybody, and of course with parent councils in public schools. But if there are teachers that are unhappy because they don't know what's going on in the district, they're worried about their jobs, they're burnt out, they're frustrated, what do they do? And this is not their fault at all. So I want to make sure that we're all very clear that we are not going to be blaming any kind of teachers or school administrator on this, because any human being would be like this. They're going to start to complain, right? I did. That's why I left, being in-house.
Yeah.
you start to complain, and who do you complain to? You complain to your family. You complain to your friends.
Right.
You complain to your neighbors. And probably, right. And I saw this particularly a lot in some of the schools I worked in, where parents became friends because they're there, they're volunteering, they're supporting you, they're bringing in the hot chocolate bar or the pizza party to celebrate you. They're part of the extended family. And so those parents are going to see what's happening, and those neighbors are going to see what's happening. We have several, you know, several teachers that live in my neighborhood that teach in the local schools. You know, things would get around if they, thankfully, they're very happy, but
they sure
you know, things get around. And this
and
this is not their fault at all. The fault is on the school and or the district or the university for not being more outright with information, for not being transparent. If you don't know something, you know, of course, you know, my background is a trained public relations practitioner, so I'm always very careful what I say. But if you don't know something, it's quite okay to say, you know what, team, I know we're all frustrated with X, Y, and Z. I do not have the answer for you right now, but I am working on it, and I hope to have you something by the end of this week. Stay tuned. Just something as simple as that as a message can create a really great engagement with employees and create trust, right? So like in marketing, we have the know, like, trust factor. And that's the same thing in talent retention, right? They have to be able to trust you to want to work for you and be the best type of employee that they can be.
And, you know, there's another part to that teacher retention thing, although it's the second part of it, okay? And that's teacher recruitment, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Telling your a school district, if I may, or a school, telling their story properly, it gets people engaged in saying, thinking, maybe I'd like to work at that district. Maybe I'd like to work at that school, et cetera, et cetera. And these days, and if I may, every school, I hate to say this, and every school district is in competition with everyone else for talent.
Yeah.
All right? We know people who have left one district this year, know a number of teachers who left the district they've been at for a while, okay? This is different districts, and moved to other districts because the pay was better, the classes were better, whatever the case may be. They'll go, oh, I can teach physics over there, and I couldn't teach it here, whatever the case may be. But we know a lot of people who left, okay? And it's harder and harder to replace. So you have to... You have to keep your story out there and keep it consistent. And, Amanda, just talk about this. I mean, it has to do this age of teacher recruitment, teacher retention. This changes the paradigm for school PR. It used to be just to the community, but it's equally important for these. Am I correct? These aspects.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's something I learned about, oh, goodness, 16 or 17 years ago when I was working in an elite private school, and part of it actually, and this was when print ads, you know, we could still do print ads and that was kind of king, but we would actually celebrate a lot of the faculty in the advertisements we did because we felt it was important to showcase the talent.
Absolutely.
And so,
makes them feel,
you know,
good.
I started,
and well
I started deserved. In, you know, absolutely. And, you know, I come from actually most of my career, a decade of my career was in higher ed. And that's not even my teaching side. I have the teaching side in higher ed, which is another 15 years, but higher ed communications. And of course, in higher ed, you're trying to attract top students by showcasing the faculty, right? So you're going to come here and you want to be an engineer.
That's correct.
Well, these are the engineers they're going to learn from. So why should it be any different for K through 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people, mm-hmm. you know, especially we saw this in the pandemic when, you know, in our school, in our district, you know, for example, it was pretty, you know, like most, shut down and closed. And so thankfully I'd already had one daughter in one school before my little one started kindergarten. So I was always already familiar with it and I wasn't, you know, nervous about it. But if I had been a new parent transferring in or, you know, going to kindergarten and not knowing, you know, who's actually teaching my child, like what do they look like? You know, what do they, you know, how long have they been teaching? What are their interests? And that's just like the general meet the teacher, right? So if you get into who is the, you know, the school admin, who's a school nurse. And I'm very proud of my father-in-law. He was the custodian for my husband's school. My husband went through a K-12 school that was segmented in a small town. My father-in-law was the custodian for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years.
Wow.
And guess what?
Wow.
Whenever anybody in town wanted to know what was going on at the school,
yes, the custodian.
They'd call my father-in-law.
Exactly.
Because he knew everything that was happening. And everybody knew him and everybody loved him. And they got to know him. And so
that's
about
a
and we just had a
that's
conversation.
That's a great story right there.
Yeah, and great. You know, like, who's the bus driver? You know, my kid's had this driver for years, and unfortunately, for, it was sad for us, but happy for him, he retired last year after 30 years. But his name was Mr. Dan, and he looked like Santa Claus. And every day he come, and we knew him, and he knew who had a dog. And, you know, and so those are the wonderful stories of the people who make up the district. Because what I learned early on in my career, it's, you know, that the teachers are obviously making an impact in the classroom every single day, day in and day out. And kudos to them, because I could never do it. When I taught higher ed, it was a lot easier. But it's also the people on the other end who are making the school go around. You know, those school nurses, the school counselors, especially with SEL, and I know that's a topic you're very passionate about, Larry. Who's now the diversity director in the district? You know, who is running the business office to make sure that, you know, all this money is getting funneled correctly, or when times are tight, that the things in the school aren't getting. I've worked with some phenomenal, Bob Moore, if he's ever listening, who's now retired, was probably the most talented public school finance, and he was a deputy super of business and finance operations. This man was so good with every single penny that came in and out of the district, and holding everything accountable and making sure every T was, like, I wouldn't want that job for anything. But those are the types of people who need to be celebrated, because we have to realize that they're not only jobs in the classroom to fill, which is priority number one right now, but I can tell you, I know of 30 school communicators who have left the field since the fall of 2020. And I'm sure in every other area, bus drivers, nurses, finance.
Oh, it's brutal out there across the board.
That there are shortages.
It's brutal out there across the board. And by the way, I love the way you say school communicators. I love that title. It's a good title.
But,
like,
you know,
it.
What? They do a lot. I know school PR was kind of the one term for many years, but it's way beyond PR now. It's marketing, advertising, community relations, internal, external, everything.
It is. And actually, I was going to say, you know, not only are schools competing, all right, for talent in terms of teachers, et cetera, they're also competing in terms of enrollment. All right. You know, public schools used to be the paradigm, so to speak, and I love public schools. But there are charter schools out there and independent schools out there and parochial schools out there. Okay. There's competition. There didn't used to be like it is today. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have to paint that picture. Okay. Which brings me, I want to ask you this, Amanda. Every school district is different. Every state is different, et cetera, et cetera. Some conservative, some liberal, whatever the case may be. But there's got to be certain generalities that a school leader should look toward. What should they be aware of within the community? What are the key points that they need to be aware of within the community to make sure that they're getting the right message out that meets the community where it is? Does that make sense?
Why?
Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, you led right into it, because a lot of it is knowing the community. Who's there, right? So if you're going for a bond, you know, vote, for example, and you have mostly senior citizens in your community, I've seen some superintendents do this really well, then you're going to the senior citizen center, right? You're talking to the people. Like, you need to know who is in your community and then who is on the outside of the community. You know, it started several years ago when I was in a public school district. I was actually an intermediate school district where we served 28 school districts and 220,000 students. And I would hear of,
In
Michigan, in Michigan. And so, and so my role was
an
to
ESA.
Support.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they're ESA, RESA, BOCI. I mean,
the
terminology is so different.
Wherever you might be, whatever they call them.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and I would have complaints from one district to another, you know, about another district saying, well, they're marketing on our zip code line. And, you know, marketing was such a dirty term in education for so long, particularly in public education, because nobody wants to spend money erroneously. Right. And they don't want to look like we're desperate for students, so we're going to spend money in marketing. And that's silly. Right. Because we know private schools, charter schools, parochial schools, gosh, even a lot of micro schools, I see with digital advertising and things now, they're all spending money, whether some are doing it in a good way and some aren't, you know, that's neither here nor there. But one of the things that school leaders need to take a look at is, you know, is our community shrinking? Because what happens, and this is particularly in a lot of urban school districts that we've been doing work in the last couple of years, they're calling in for help years too late. I mean, we can obviously do some components, but when I'm going into a district that's losing 3,000 or 4,000 students a year, which is not unusual, unfortunately, in some of these cases. They're now only starting to take a look at, you know, who are we marketing to? And part of what I do on the audit and research side, that's why I got the doctorate, so I could have that street cred with the research.
That was
a big reason. And you know, we look at it and say, maybe in their community, maybe they have 10 predominant languages, which is not uncommon, again, in many urban settings. But their only communication is going out in English.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like for either like positions for families or potential families?
Absolutely.
You know, there are some client districts that I go to and I'm in the minority because I don't speak one of the primary languages in the district, which is not English. Again, that is not uncommon. So if we don't know the people in our own community and how to reach them, you know, in some areas we've gone into, depending on the area, we found great success with reaching out and partnering with churches for a public school district, not a parochial school, but a public school district, because a lot of the public school parents happen to go to particular churches, and the churches were willing to put on events and things for free for the school. So, you know, that's one example. Another example could be a particular urban setting. Instead of doing an advertisement on TV, which a lot of people, you know, fast forward through TV, they found greater success by doing bus wraps because most of the people in their district took the bus either to work or to the grocery store or to get to wherever they need to go. And I'm talking school buses, I'm talking city buses. So
right.
It's really knowing who is in our own community and how can we best reach them. And sometimes people want to do this because it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of work to figure out because we, you know, and I can say this, I'm a communicator and marketer. I like flashy things. I like pretty websites and I like great advertisements and I like a good logo and, you know, I like really strong marketing materials. But guess what? Like if I create something and it's not intended for the target audience that I want to reach in my own backyard, I've just wasted a whole lot of money and time and I've missed the message and I've missed the mark. And I can guarantee you there's another school or micro school or home school or parochial school or charter school, whatever the case is, that is swooping in with the right messaging because they're doing their homework and understanding who is in our community now. The other component I'm seeing is when people, you know, when I go into to districts or schools and they give me research studies that they did from 10 years ago, because I always ask for like recent research. And that was their demographic research from 10 years ago. And they haven't updated it. And we need to be updating this and taking a look really since the pandemic, because particularly in urban areas where people are no longer having to commute into cities because maybe now they're working from home, maybe before they dropped their child off at the school because they were going to be there all week anyway. While that might not be the case, so you really need to be looking at this and figuring out, and a lot of this data is free. It doesn't have to be, you know, this big extensive study. Just figuring out how many languages are spoken in our city or district or our town, how many are in our own, you know, backyard, what are the demographics of people, how has it shifted in the last 2 years, and then just figuring out from there. And then, of course, building, you know, including the community. This is a whole other conversation, but as they look at academic programs and shifts, you know, including those families and community members in that conversation.
Yeah, Amanda, let me ask you this. And I deal with a lot of superintendents. I always like to be a little bit, I like to seem somewhat intelligent before I talk to them. So I go to the websites. Okay. And I go to the school district websites. And some of them are good. Most of them are, if I may, no offense to anybody, mediocre. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mediocre because they're certainly informational. Okay. They have what's on school lunch this week or some other thing. Okay. But they're mediocre in terms of, and I know school districts do it, they're mediocre in terms of their marketing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exciting. I don't know how to say this right. And
my
question is
right.
How important, okay, is a really good, think about your marketing website for a school district beyond just that basic information of today we're going to have string beans and tomorrow for dessert we're going to have string beans suspended in Jello. Okay, I'm thinking back to when I was in school. God, right. But at any rate, okay. So my point is, how important is that website these days? You're the marketer. How important is it for school districts?
It is so important.
Yeah.
It is so important. And, you know, and it, the thing that I want schools and districts to keep in mind is it doesn't have to be this super flashy, fancy, expensive thing. In fact, I did an audit last year on a district website where they spent a lot of money on this website, and it was touted as award-winning, blah, blah, blah. Well, I did an audit. I found out, and I had speakers native to the five languages in the district try to go through and do tasks. They couldn't figure out how to enroll their kid. They couldn't find the information for the elementary school for one user hadn't been updated in 3 years. They couldn't get information on where they have to go for the bus. And then it was told that they had to go to the district office to get an application. It wasn't online. Yet from the communications and marketing and administrative standpoint, it was, look how gorgeous this is. Well,
it's award-winning.
That's great. I love, like I said, Larry, I could sit and toy with websites all day. I love them. We don't design them, but I have recommendations if anybody's interested. But it's almost like you were reading my mind of what I was doing before we got on this call, because I was auditing two websites for a couple districts.
And I do. I have a sensor, a little chip that I installed in your mind there with me. I don't know if you noticed that.
I know. I'm going to go do a sweep after.
It's just above your left ear. So I don't know if you might want to remove that when this is done. Yeah.
But you know what? What we're forgetting to do in education is differentiating ourselves and keeping it simple, right? So when OCR, Office of Civil Rights, went through many years ago, and rightfully so, you know, we had many issues on a lot of websites. I had to take down a district website. We had 14,000 pages, 14,000 pages on a district website. Because this is before I had come along, and people just kept adding to it and putting up PowerPoint, you know, because in education, sharing is caring, right? So we wanted to share all of our knowledge. And what people fail to realize is that if you have a very clean and simple website where people can get the basic information that they need, they can look at some really nice pictures, and, you know, to get a photography student or a local photographer to come in and do some beautiful photos, and I have some great recommendations, anybody needs them, you're only looking at a few $100 in your marketing budget. And those, I actually have one university that is still using the same photos from 12 years ago, and they do not look dated. When you have a good photographer, you can do this well. And you really need the information that's right there. You know, basically, get inside a parent's mind. And we went through this with my own child's district, you know, a couple of years ago during the pandemic. I said, where are the resources for parents? And I got, you know, an email back, and it's like, well, they're all there. You need to, you know, and I said, well, I'm really sorry. I'm searching through and I can't find this, knowing full well this is what I do for a living. And, you know, but just kind of keeping my nose out of it. And they went through and they were like, this was in April. And they said, oh, well, we had IT. We told IT in August they needed to put it up. So nobody, they're not auditing the website because they've gotten too big. And it's too hard to find things. And we're linking out to 8 different types of software programs. You know, go to get the lunch menu here, get the bus schedule here. If you need a resource for your child for counseling, click here. Sign up for sports over here. And they're leading people off. I would much rather see a school or district have a very simple 10-page website with a digital online application and an interest form. Because, and you said it earlier, Larry, that you're shocked that so many of these districts still have these websites, and I just want to give a really quick story of an interview I did with a young woman and her mother. It was for a research job that I was doing in a district, and this young woman was accepted into a gifted program. And this young woman was 13 or 14 and said, here's the thing, my family immigrated from another country. My parents, neither one spoke any English. And I tried, my father unfortunately passed away. So it's just my mom. She's trying to juggle a lot. You know, he passed away unexpectedly. My mother's trying to juggle a lot. She doesn't speak English. We go to get the application and we had to print it off, except we can't afford to have a printer here. So I had to take a bus to the library, the public library, to go print it off. Except they didn't have it in Spanish. It was only in English.
Wow.
So when I go back to bring it to my mom to fill out because I've been accepted in a gifted program, she goes, not that she doesn't trust me, but, and this is like a young teenager telling me this, she said, but what mother is going to trust a 13 or 14 year old who really wants to be in a program that she's translating this word for word exactly how it's supposed to be? And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, are we making it this difficult for our communities to even enroll in programs, let alone, you know, get the information they need? So I think, you know, you can do so much with a very clean and simple to the point website. And I'm a big fan of lead magnets and lead generation. If they want more information, you can either put up a little booklet and capture their name and email address or phone number, or I can have them email the program director to get more information, set up an automated email form in any free e-newsletter system out there where things get automatically sent to them, and there you go. You've captured that potential, you know, that potential family in one click.
And I'm going to get back to what we talked about at the beginning, all right? All of this is a circle, okay? It's student enrollment. It's talent retention. It's talent recruiting, okay? It's bond issues, okay? And it's the whole, and I'm going to get back to the word we used at the beginning. You have to think it through and be proactive. And school communications these days, I have to say this, is not a job for the third assistant superintendent who was never trained in it. So you handle
exactly.
It, Bill. Okay? That ain't going to work. Not these days. Mm-hmm. Okay? Poor Bill, mm-hmm. whoever he is. All right? And you get the point. So, Amanda, we're going to do more together, okay? We got to go now, but we're going to do more together, okay? I love having you on, by the way. It's always fun.
Thank right? you, Larry.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is Amanda Holdsworth, Dr. Holdsworth, okay? HoldsworthCommunications.com. Okay, and I am serious about this. Every school district needs good, solid, proactive communications. Is that a good way to end it, Amanda?
Oh, you nailed it. Thank you so much,
thanks,
Larry.
No, come back anytime. All right, we'll be in touch shortly.
Sounds
okay?
great.
Thanks.
Bye, Larry.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, my pal, my good friend, Amanda Holdsworth, HoldsworthCommunications.com. And also schoolcomslab.com, schoolcomslab.com, two M's in comms. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm telling you, this is PR stuff. It's key these days. And it's also important to get the message out. Over she mentioned before about SEL. I did a show this morning with Castle earlier today, the Collaborative for Social Emotional Learning. And there's a lot of controversy about SEL. There shouldn't be, but there is. You got to get the message out, okay? The people with the loudest voice aren't necessarily right, all right? So you got to have your argument. You got to set it up. You got to be proactive. School districts, you get the message. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.